Good morning. To briefly review, we went through last week the three basic pshatim in the definition of garmi, when a person is liable for damage that he caused indirectly. The first shita, which is the most chomer dika shita, was the shita of Rambam. The Rambam held anytime you caused damage, as long as you had the intent to cause the damage and there was no other person involved, you're responsible. According to many places, this is Meikar Hadin. It's likely Midoraisa. And as we'll see, in any case where there's a Machlokes, we'll see the Rambam is virtually, well, is in every case where it comes up, the Rambam is the sheet that's Machmer and holds that you're Chayiv on Dina de Garmi. The Mechaber passes like the Rambam. And therefore, if you're a Sfardi, again, watch what you're doing. You're a bit, more often than not going to be responsible for the consequences of your actions. This is the Shita of Rambam. To jump to the other extreme, the Shita of the Ritzvah, which Taisus is Maskono, and the Shach as well, was that Adarabah. Mi'ikar Hadin, you're only responsible for damage that you cause directly. Adam HaMazik is when you do it directly, you're Kayach. Anything which is Groma, Garmi, anything which is indirect, Mi'ikar Hadin, you're Potter. Now Chazal saw that if you're going to be potter on everything, that'll cause tremendous problems. You can cause a tremendous amount of damage. We'll go through some examples later. But you can cause a tremendous amount of damage indirectly. And therefore Chazal made a knas. Any type of indirect damage that you do, which is common, it's something which is shchia, Chazal said you have to pay for it in order to protect people. And therefore, according to the Shita, according to the Ritzvah, there are no real technical rules. We just look at any, if you cause a damage, it's something which is common. There, Chazal said, you have to pay. Now, even in the Shita, there is machlokes how far to take it. The Pashas of the Rama and the Sma say that any type of damage which is shchiach, you have to pay. Because Chazal, they made a blanket rule. Any indirect damage which is common, you have to pay. The Shach argues, the Shach limits this. He says that Chazal went ahead, and Bimei Chazal, they looked around. Whatever kind of damage was common, they said, this, Dina de Garmi, you have to pay. But if times change, and now there we create a new type of hezek, even if it's shchiach, if it's Zok the Shach, you're going to be potter, because they only made a knas in the specific examples that existed at that time. So for a common question that comes up, you send someone a computer virus. Now, let's assume, again, it might depend on the type of virus, but let's assume that is at most a Dina de Garmi. You're just setting up the virus, then he has to click on it, he has to do something for the damage to actually happen. So if you hold like Luritzba, so any time there's an indirect damage to the Shriach, they made a Knas. So a virus is extremely Shriach, and you should be Chayiv. However, it would likely depend on what this Machlok Hashach and Tzma. According to the Sma, it's across the board. Anything which is common, you're responsible for, there would be a chiv. According to the Shach, where it's limited to specific cases that Chazal were goyzer, a virus is a new type of hezek. It's something which did not exist, bimei Chazal. And therefore, according to the Shach, we would not have the right to extend this takana, to extend this knas. And in many cases, you'd be potter. Very often we find that in Chazal we're only misakin on things that were shriach, and most of the shriach legozer by rabbanon. And therefore, in cases where their damage was common, Chazal felt the need to step in. And even though mikra had in your potter, in order to protect people, we had to go ahead and say that you're chayiv. But something which is lo shriach, Chazal are not worried about it. It happens.
Can you to something which was already. Is that enough, or it has to be enough? Exactly.
So, like everyone, that's a good point. Rav Mendel Shafran in Yoshev HaToiv Chelek Tes says that no one says that it has to be the exact same. For example, the Gemara's example of Mara Din or L'Shulchan, you ask a banker whether money is counterfeit. So, if you ask a professional about a diamond, it would have the same halacha. It doesn't have to be the exact same case, but it has to be essentially, at least the same category, the same class. If you're going to have a new type of hezek, they had nothing similar to viruses back then. And therefore, since there's nothing, any of the cases where you'll find where they said you have to pay are not similar to this, therefore, according to the Shach, according to the Shita, you should be potter. Now, this was the Shita of the Ritzvah. The third Shita, sort of a middle ground, is the Shita of the Ramban, the Rosh, or they say they're not the same, but they have a similar Mahalach. They say that Dina de Garmi is Mikra HaDin. But they have a set of rules and a set of criteria to look at before you have to pay. And what they basically say is that to be chayev al tzgarmi, to be chayev for indirect damage, you need the damage has to be miyad, it has to be immediate, it has to be bari hezeka, it has to be definite, that it certainly will happen as a result, it's not a question. And the third criteria, which is a machlokes rishonim, is that you need a ma'aseh in the guf hamamon. According to the Rosh, you have to act directly on the item in question, Mashein Kain in the case, the Gemara's case, where you, because of your action, there is a coin fell under the water. If it's recoverable, even though there'll be a cost involved in recovering it, since that cost is not directly, it doesn't have to do with your action, it's paying someone paying someone the outside, it's Mamon Acher, so there, according to the Rosh, that would be a case of Grama, and there will be no Chiyuv in Bezel. So now that we have the three basic shitas, let's go through some common examples and some nafkaminas between the different shitas. The first and most basic difference is what happens in garmi b'shoigeg. You did not cause the damage on purpose. It was a mistake. It was an accident. So if you hold, like the Rosh or like the Ramban, that garmi is me'ikar ha'din, it's a regular adam ha'mazik. So the general rule is adam u'ol o'ilam. A person is responsible for the consequences of his actions. And therefore, you'd have to pay. So again, in the case of when you cause damage through your actions, again, if it's garmi through a dibur is going to be different, but garmi through an action, according to the Ramban, according to the Rosh, you'd be responsible to pay. However, according to Tosis, this is a knas. Chazal made a knas when you're at fault. When you went ahead and you did something to cause damage. If it was an accident, if it was a mistake, you wouldn't be responsible. According to the Rambam, certainly, according to the Rambam said, the Rambam's main criteria is that if your intent was to do damage, you're responsible for what happens. So according to the Rambam, certainly if it was not the intent, if it was an accident, you would be pater. Now, although according to the Rambam, you're pater when your intent was not to do damage, it is clear from the Rambam that if you're negligent, you're going to be responsible. In the case of Mara Dinah L'Shulchan, you ask a banker, is this money counterfeit? Even though he gave you the answer that he thought was correct, but since the case, if he's not qualified, he shouldn't have answered you. Telling you or making or answering you when he knows he's not qualified is considered negligent, and therefore, even though your intent was not to cause damage, that's close enough, and you would be responsible. And for the same reason, a dayan that makes a mistake because he had no business paskening if he was not familiar with the inyan, that is considered kavanas lahazik, and you're going to be responsible. But in a case where it's a true accident, there you would be pater according to the Rambam and according to Tosfos. Correct, but the Ramban does say that you're chayiv. It is machlok. Is now, as I mentioned before, even the Ramban, when you're mazgayet dibur, we'll get to that in Hilchos Mesira. There, the Ramban agrees you're pater on anoinus. But when you're a garmi ayidei ma'isa, the Ramban says it's me'ikar hadin. If it's mikar hadin, there's no separate pasuk for garmi. So if you hold the mikar hadin, it's included in the din of mazik. If it's included in the din of mazik, it should have the same parameters.
It's not even so clear where the din of mazik is from. So how do we?
Correct, but whatever it is, we know adam u'ol o'ilam, right? That's a mishnah. So if you hold that garmi is another form of mazik and it's chayiv just like a mazik, mikar hadin, not a takana, the only makar for it, it's nichlal in the din of mazik, and therefore the Ramban holds your chayiv anoinus. The mistama, you could, and again, there is makin fi mechalak, and we do find that ayidei dibur, it is different, but the Ramban holds that when ayidei ma'isa, it has the regular gedarim.
So in other words, together with the Ramban, this is what you're saying, it's not that you have intent to do, but you have intent to do what you're doing. In other words, you have intent to do
or at least it's reckless. What you did is something which, even though you're not going, your intention, you're not hoping the damage will occur, but you're being, you know, reckless endangerment. What you're doing is you know that there's a reasonable chance that the damage will occur, and you do it afal peking. So again, it's not because you're malicious intent, but it's the point is that you're recklessly causing it to happen. So let's deal with a few common scenarios. A person orders a telephone system for his business. Orders it, comes in, pays someone to install it. And right after it's installed, the system totally crashes. He goes through it. Turns out the item is defective. He needs to replace the system. He incurs installation costs again. There was lost business along the way. Is the seller responsible for the damage that he suffered? So over here, it'll depend. In a case where the seller thought that the item was fine, so certainly according to the Rambam, you'd be butter. There's no kavanos al hazik, there's no intent, there's no negligence, and certainly he would have no responsibility. According to Taisus as well, since that was not your intent, you're going to be potter. Even the Ramban that holds its maker hadin, Ramban says that's only when you're doing something which is a maisa hezek. Mashenkin, when you're selling items, you buy and you sell, you're not the one who's responsible to check or do the quality control. You're just a reseller. So there, that's not a maisa hezek b'chla, and therefore l'kulei alma in such a case you'd be potter. As well. Well, it depends on the industry. If it's made in China, I don't know. Now, what would it be if the seller... It's like this. In cases of grama, there generally is a chiyuv. Don't get me wrong. Anytime we were saying you're potter because you don't meet these criteria, there's no ma'is in the kavanah, it's not bari hazeka, it's not miyad, still there is a chiyuv lotzis sedei shemayim. However, by lotzis sedei shemayim, there has to be some level of negligence. In a case where it's an oinus, in a case where you had no way of knowing, everyone agrees there's no chiyuv lotzis sedei shemayim, because what are you supposed to do? You're selling items, it comes in, you sold it in good faith, in shemayim they can't have tainus on you.
It's a record
test. Yeah, on the item itself, you'll get a refund. The issue is, what about the collateral damage? Your installation costs, the lost business, or any other damage that it may have caused? No, no, our case was the item happened to have been defective. You sold them the right system. There was a defect, there was a manufacturer defect. That's true. It's a mekach tois. You're entitled to get your money back and you have to replace the system. The issue is, who's responsible for all the installation costs? Now you have to install it a second time. Who's responsible for the lost business or any other damage that you had during this period? And on that, since it was probably even less than a shogeg, it's probably even an oinus, but even if it's a shogeg, you're not responsible for garmi. And therefore, in this case, according to everyone, you'd be potter.
Is installation considered in the garmi or part of the purchase?
To simplify matters, you bought the system, you hired someone else to install it. We'll discuss when you pay someone to install it, we'll have to get to, the parameters will be slightly different. But the simple case is, I bought the system, I paid someone to install it, and it turns out it's defective. That's the first case. Now let's take it to the next level. What if the seller knew good and well the item was defective? He knew good and well that it was defective. Or for that matter, even if let's be down Kapskos a little, he didn't know for it, but he sold three systems, you know, from the same batch, and the last three of them, they all came back. And he had a very good idea that there was probably something wrong over here. Is he responsible for the damage? So let's go through the shittas. If you hold like the Rambam, so certainly there was intent, it's kavanos lahazik. Obviously your intent over here was to make money. Now you didn't care whether you get damage or not, but it's certainly negligence, and therefore, according to the Rambam, you should be responsible to pay. According to Tosfos, or anything which is common, they made a kanas. So is this common or not? All right, I'll leave it to you to decide. What? Okay, no, that's this person. The question is this a common problem of people selling defective goods? Now, what about according to the Rosh and the Ramban? Does this meet the criteria of garmi? So, it is a bari hezeka. The damage is certainly going to happen. But it's not necessarily miyad, because it may take some, you know, if he doesn't install, it's only the damage only happens by installation later on. And more significantly, it is not a ma'is in the guf hamam. All the other cases of garmi, you paskind about this coin. Is it counterfeit or not? So that's an action about this coin, and there's garmi. But when the damage is mamon acher, when it's a separate expense that is incurred because of you, there, according to the Rosh, should be potter. So in this case, your installation costs is not directly, obviously you caused it, according to the Rambam and Bichayi, but according to the Rosh, the hefzid is in mamon acher, and you should be potter.
So
now, interesting.
On the yard, I mean, as soon as he used it, there wouldn't work.
When he used it, right? It's true. That's true. However, the hezek is not at the time of the use. The hezek is at the time of the purchase. At that point, the seller's action is over. Since the hezek only happens later, when he goes ahead and he hires someone to install it, you can argue that's not miyah. Now, as far as halacha l'maisa, if anyone remembers from Siman Reish Lamed Beis, and we discussed the sug of mekachtos, so there's a case of zaroi negina. Person bought seeds to plant. He planted them, and it turns out the seeds, nothing grew. They were duds. So over there, there's malchogas in the Gemara. But pashas we hold your potter. Along came the Ramah, and the Ramah says, when the Gemara says your potter, that's talking about when you sold it b'shoigig. You didn't know any better. However, if you were amazed, if you knew they were defective and you sold it, you're going to be responsible for all for the cost that the person incurred. Now, based on our Hakdam, it's very geshmak. The Ramah, we pointed out last week, holds like the Rambam, Medina de Garmi. The Ramah is the one that held, if you open the door and the animal escapes and is masik, you have to pay. That's not Miyad, it's not Bari Hezeka, it's a Maman Acher, but still the Ramah held like the Rambam. Anytime your intent, there's a pshio or intended damage, and the damage happens, you have to pay. And therefore, that's why the Ramah says you have to pay. The Mechaber passes like this Ramah. So according to the Mechaber goes in the Shitas Rambam, and therefore, that's why in such a case, as long as you knew that the item was defective, or negligence would be the same, you would be responsible for the installation cost that the person incurs. Others argue, the Rebina comes along and argues. The Rebina says, what do you mean? It's not Bari Hezeka, it's not a mice in the Guf HaMamon. The Rebina is going like the Shitas Ramban. And therefore, the Rebina says, Halach is, you should be potter. Now let's take this case, let's deal with another aspect of the same case. You sold the telephone system, you knew it was defective, and we'll follow the Shitas Rambam, the Ramchaber, you have to pay for the installation cost. What about the fact that for 3 days this business had no phone system? Customers called in and they didn't get through. You lost a lot of business. Are you responsible for the lost business that you caused? Now this is a slightly different question. Because until now we're discussing Grom and Garmi when you cause damage. Because of your action, this person spent $1,000 to hire someone to install a system that was worthless. Because of your actions, there is a debt. Now the Shtar Chayv is destroyed. You can't recover that debt. You cause someone a direct loss. Now, we're not discussing a loss. We're discussing Menias HaRevach. We're discussing you would have been able to earn a profit. You would have been able to generate income. And now you're not. There's a Menias HaRevach. You didn't generate the profits that you would have without his action. So in this, there's the Yerushalmi that we have in this morning's Maamar Mekayim. The Yerushalmi says... Okay, fine, good. That's the reasonable point. But let's leave that aside. We'll get back to that later, maybe. What? His point was overhead. Can you look at overhead as not just a minyas rebach because I have overhead that's not being there that might be an expense, which is what comes up in Chol HaMoed, and it is a taina. But so the Yerushalmi says like this. Yerushalmi says a mevatal kisu shel chaveroi ein lo yolav elo tarumos. Person has money. He has an investment. He has a business opportunity. If you prevent him from investing, his money is locked up in a vault, you block his access. He's not able to make this investment. Now, he's not any poorer. He hasn't lost anything. But you deprived him of an opportunity to make a profit. The Yerushalmi says you only have tarumas. It's not a garmi. You don't have to pay him for his lost opportunity. You're going to be potter. Again, it's usur. He has tarumas on you. But garmi, it's not going to be. Fine. Now, technically speaking, that still is minyas harevach because you're not poorer than you were before. You just aren't richer, which is, you know, had you not done this action, you would have done more business. You would have earned more income. So although it's definite, although you had this customer for many years, but since it is technically speaking minyas harevach because he didn't cause you a direct loss, he just stopped you from profiting.
The customer is worth a lot of money.
What?
The customer is worth a lot.
It's like this. Your point, wait a second. Your point is well taken. So actually, Bideshmai is interesting. The lashon of the Yerushalmi is mevatel kisoy ein loylov elo tarumos. You can have tainus on the person. It's certainly going to be awesome. But tarumos is a much weaker language than saying chayev lotse sudeshmai. In a normal case of garama, there's a chiva, you have to pay. Bezin can't force, but you have to pay. So Yerushalmi sounds like when you're depriving him of profits, it's tarumos, but there's no chiva sudeshmaiim. There is a machlokes achroinim. Many achroinim, when they say the halacha, they say there's a chivat zdei shemayim. Others say not. The achra, we'll have to wait until we get to shemayim to figure out what the achra is. But it's not clear in the poskim.
You're saying like the Pohol backs out tarumos or whatever, it would be the same thing.
Right. The lashon of Yerushalmi is tarumos, which is similar to the same language used by Pohol. Okay, let me get back to your case for a minute. Correct. If you're only losing profits, then it's tarumos, maybe chivat tzedei shemayim, but Yerushalmi says there's no chiv in bezdin. Let's take a trip back about 2.5 years ago when we were discussing the halachas of schiras poilim. What's the halacha if you hire a worker, you promise him a job, he shows up the first day of work, and you tell him, I change my mind. Change your mind? It's too late in the day. He can't find another job. So we discussed the halacha over there is, you have to pay the worker. Why do you have to pay the worker? So it's a machlokes. But Taisus and the Rosh say, you have to pay midina degarmi. You promised him a job. If you wouldn't have promised him the job, he would have gone elsewhere. He would have found another job. There was full employment back then. They didn't have, if he wanted a job, he would have gotten a job. Because of your haftacha, because of your commitment, he didn't bother looking. He passed other opportunities. And now, when you fire him, or you tell him you change your mind, it's too late. So the Rosh, so Taisus, you have to pay him dina degarmi. Now wait a second. When the worker doesn't have a job, is he losing money out of pocket? No. If he has a job, it means he has an opportunity to work and earn a salary, earn profit. But it's clear in Taisus and the Rosh that if you stop someone from working, that is dina degarmi. So what many achroinim say is, and this is I think what you were driving at, that there's a difference between Menias HaRevach in Yerushalmi's case and in this case. Yerushalmi's case is the person has money to invest. Now, he thinks this is the best investment around. And you stop him, you deprive him from making that investment. Is that called a Menias? Is that really Menias HaRevach? There are many people who had these sure thing investments, subprime mortgages, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. So even if it happens to be in this case, afterwards we see it worked out, but stopping someone from investing is not called Menias HaRevach Bar. It's true, it might be a good investment, might be a wise investment. But that, there's no chiv, you're not called a mazik because you stop him from investing. On the other hand, the worker, he's there, he's healthy, he's ready to work. There was no problem getting a job. So stopping him from Menias HaRevach Bar when it's guaranteed, there many achroidim say you're going to be chayv. In a similar case, and this is also a machloikis, but if you have someone who's they used to rent rentals or leases of apartments. There was a certain time where people at Rosh Hashanah, people would move in the beginning of the year. In Lakewood, it probably goes by this man. People like moving in Bein Hazmanim, not during this man. So if the person is supposed to vacate the apartment before Bein Hazmanim, and he ends up just staying in the apartment longer than he's supposed to, because of that, once you miss Bein Hazmanim, now you can't find another tenant until the next Bein Hazmanim. So Nachas Tzvi says, for the same reason, you have to pay. Because that's Menias HaRevach Bar. You've stopped him from renting it out. He certainly would have had a tenant. You have to pay. But anytime there's any element of doubt, it's an investment, it's, you know, maybe you would find someone, maybe you wouldn't, there by Menias HaRevach, it certainly would be potter.
I would argue more than that. Really, if he's a regular customer for years, what you've done is you compare the going concern value of the business so that if somebody wanted to sell the business, it's not worth significantly less. Just like if you would go out and badmouth the business,
okay, so that's an excellent example because the Truma Sadeshin talks about bad mouthing a business. But actually, his case is there was a chazin, and the person went ahead and was moiti laz on him that he did all sorts of terrible averis, and they fired him. Truma Sadeshin says avad it's aser, it's moiti shemra. We can have a whole list of yisurim the person was over, but garmi it's not going to be because he didn't directly cause the person a loss. He bashmut his reputation. Now they don't want to. The shul doesn't want a chazan, which is a bad reputation. And they fired him. It's too indirect, and therefore the Truma Zedeshin says that is not a case of garmi. Bad mouthing a business is certainly aser, mitzi shemro, lashon hara. You have, again, you'll have a list of yisurim, but to make him pay for the damage, you're not going to be able to. It's too indirect.
What about the case where a guy has a job, and then someone says, offers him another job, he leaves that job, he's off, the man mistakes. And now he has, this was his job.
Correct. That is the case, the guy, where he has a job, you promise him another job, then you change your mind. That is the case in Shin Lamed Gimel, where if you change your mind, you're responsible to pay for that loss, because you've caused him a damage. You know, another case in Shin Lamed Gimel, you know, if you put in, you order something. You go to a bakery, I think the example we used when we were going through this halacha is your daughter's birthday party, you order 30 banana flavored cupcakes. The day before, the day of the big day arrives, and your daughter decides she doesn't like banana cupcakes, she likes chocolate cupcakes. So you go to the bakery and you change your mind. Now in that case, what are they doing with 30 banana cupcakes? Nothing. So there you've caused them a, that's a case of garmi. The Rosh says you're chayiv. You've caused them a loss. That case, actually, Kiveger points out, everyone agrees you're chayiv. Because since you specifically told them, go bake these for me, even though it's not payolim, there's no kinyan, you don't have any of the other technical, but it's a question of garmi. Because based on your word, based on your representation, they went ahead, they spent money, they baked these cupcakes, and they have nothing to do with it. So there you would have to pay.
So the engagement breaks the kid.
Oh, we'll get to that. That'll be the next case. But then going back, so Menias HaRevach, stopping someone from profiting, the halacha is your potter. There may or may not be a chibot to Zishamayim, but it's not a garmi. By Menias HaRevach, borer, when there's certain, when the Revach is, there's no suffix whatsoever, it certainly would have been earned. There are poskim that say that you're chayiv. Again, it's not l'koyama, you'll have to deal with kimlis, but there are many shittas that say that you would be chayiv in such a case. Now, one other case, which I don't want to go into at length, but I just want to point out.
Chayiv.
That doesn't will make you pay. Exactly. Now, one other related case, which is really more in Simon Shin Vav or in Shin Chav Ches, that is, if you hire someone to do a job, and the person doesn't do the job, and because of that, you suffer a loss. You hire someone to install the telephone, the system, you buy the system, it works perfectly, you need someone to install it. He tells you, no problem, I'm going to come tomorrow, I'm going to install it for you, you'll have it ready by Tuesday. The person doesn't do it. And because of that, you suffer a loss. So that case is different. There's a Mishnah that says that if you hire someone to work a field and he doesn't work the field, so there he has to pay, he has to pay for the profits that should have been earned. Now that is a direct steer to what we just said. Mevatel kisei shechaveiro is patur. So to answer that, some places can say there it's minyas revach borer. You plant things in a field, unless there is a drought that year, it's going to grow. But what most Rishonim say is that no. When you have a worker who accepts to do a job, it's understood, either it's a takana or it's just stam understood, b'midin arvos, that when you accept to do a job, you're taking responsibility, it'll get done. And if you don't do it, you accept responsibility for all the consequences. And therefore, although minyas revach is potter, although if I stop you from investing, you can't make me pay bidei adam. If I'm hired to do a job, and because of my negligence, I cause a minyas revach, there in many cases you will have to pay. So if you hire the person if you bought the phone system, you hired him to install it, and he's negligent, there it's very likely he will have to pay for the losses. In contrast, if you buy it from someone, the seller sold you a system that doesn't work, and then someone else installed it, so there it's mekach u'memkar. You didn't hire the seller to install it. In that case, by minyas revach, you'd pashas to be potter. Again, minyas revach borer may be different, but in most cases, you'd be potter.
If you hire a roofer and he didn't show up,
correct. If you hire the roofer, he tears down the roof, and then he disappears for a week. During that week, it rains. So that's a case where, because of his negligence, he caused the damage. So again, that's direct damage. In Hilchos Garmi, according to Rambam, you definitely would be chayiv. According to Tyson's, you'd have to figure out how common it is for roofers to skip off the job. According to the Rosh, you'd have questions of whether this is again in the Guf HaMoma, and you'd have to deal with it. But regardless, because he's a worker, because he has responsibility, so there he would have to pay. Exactly. Correct. That's a prop. Because like this, that sugya is based on the sugya in Kuv Dalet that whenever you accept a job, there's an implied responsibility to pay for the consequences. But even if there's an implied responsibility it has to be consistent with Hilchos Asmachta. Because if I made an explicit guarantee, don't worry, anything that happens, I'll pay you back. If that's an Asmachta, and that's not binding, then an implied acceptance can't be better. So that's why that sugya is discussing whether you say Ashalom b'metvasa or Ashalom elov zuz, because we have to get around the smachta. Once we get around the smachta, then if there is either an explicit or implied acceptance, you would have to pay.
So you'd be liable if there's not a problem with smachta without getting the issue of guarantee.
Correct, that's based on the halacha of either minyas revach bar, because you said buy wine, this is the going price of wine, there was a locked in profit. Or according to the other shittos, because since you hired the worker, when you hire a worker, he's accepting to pay for a minyas revach. But if it wasn't in the context of a worker, and it wasn't minyas revach barer, then asmachta or not, you'd be putter.
In the case of a roofer, you did not take it from them, you didn't fix it, and tomorrow it rained, and it doesn't make a difference whether, you were new today, instead of the report said it's going to rain, or
well, a roofer that rips open the roof and then just disappears, even if it's not kavanos lahazik, it would probably be negligence.
But just because of the leak, and you said, I'm hiring you to fix it.
Wait a second. So again, if a person doesn't take if he tells you, don't bring someone else, I'm coming in and I'm going to take care of it, and then he doesn't, so then that would be like the sugya of you hire someone to plant a field and he doesn't, and it could be you'd be hired for those reasons. Okay, so this is all. We took a little bit of a detour. This is by Minyas HaRevach, stopping someone from profiting. Normal Dina Degarmi is going to be Potter. A possible exception is Minyas HaRevach Barer, if it's a guaranteed. And the second issue is, if you're paying a worker, there are different halachas, not Mitam Garmi, but certainly because of Arvus or Kabbalah or similar type of thing that you may have to pay. Getting back to our original case, if you're selling something that's defective, so there, for the damage itself, if you knew it was defective, the Ramah says you'd have to pay, Alts Garmi. If you didn't know, Mukulayama, you'd be Pater. An interesting example of this is a Sefer Yeshua that discusses a case, a butcher sold treif meat, and he represented that it was kosher. So, as we learned in Hilchos Mekachtoi, certainly anyone who bought the meat has the right for a full refund, even if he already ate it. The question is, what about the pots? If the pots were ruined, they weren't able to kosher them, so there the Sefer Yeshua says you'd have to pay. Now, his reason is a little bit interesting, but L'chayr, it's totally in this Zaroi Negino. According to this Ramah, that if you know that it's no good and you sell it, you're responsible for the expenses, so this would be a similar case. And if you knew it was treif, and because of that, the person's going to he's going to treif up the whole kitchen, so there you would be responsible to pay. No. So now let's go on to the next case, the one that you mentioned. The Ramah discusses a young lady got engaged. They got engaged, they made a big party, they made a l'chaim, a vart, the whole. And then, a few weeks before the chasana, she changed her mind. And she broke off the engagement. A few days later, she gets a bill in the mail. Her ex-fiancé sends her a bill. He went ahead. Based on her commitment to get married, they had a vart, they had a l'chaim, he spent a lot of money. And now that she broke the engagement, that money's all gone. It's all wasted. So the question is she responsible to pay for the suda? Is she responsible to pay for the expenses that he incurred?
For the past.
Well, for the future, there aren't going to be any. But okay. The deposit, it will all be the same. But the discussion over there was they made a suda, they used to give money to the chazan, the money that was already spent in anticipation of the chazan.
The corollary is also the catering. Can they charge also if they've already booked the time?
Okay, fine, good. That's in serious problem. That we're not going to get to. But our discussion over here is she responsible for backing out of the shidduch? So Zakhli Rambam, yes. Rambam says, you have to pay. Along comes the Ravid and says, wait a second. Zakhli Ravid, says that Zarei Negino, he learns the sugya kipshuta. He says if you sell someone something defective, and then the halacha is it's a mekar tois, but you're not responsible for the hoitzois. You're not responsible for the expenses that the person incurred. It's like the ravid. This is the same thing. You got engaged. He went ahead based on this engagement, like selling something. Based on this engagement or based on this sale, the purchaser went ahead and spent money. They planted the seeds. What did they? They installed the telephone system. Zog the Rabbi. Just like over there, the Rabbi holds that you're potter. So over here too, since the lady here, the girl, is not the one that spent the money. She just did something, and now as because of that, he went ahead and he spent the money. Zog the Rabbi, you're going to be potter. Now, what?
The food was good food.
That's true, but you didn't eat it. Your friends did. Now, having your friends eat lunch, it doesn't really have any value to you unless you happen to be engaged.
No, you pay something to have a meal with friends.
Okay, so we can talk. I don't know how much a person would pay to have a fake engagement party. Is that called a hano? Is the person who went through this process, is that party called a hano? Now, wait, one thing I want to say, and that's very clear. If he went ahead and he made the most beautiful, fanciest vart around, everyone agrees that anything extra, anything above the bare minimum, that certainly he has no claim against it. It's only whatever the minimum is. When you get engaged, you have to make a vart. That's the minhag. That's the standard. You can't get away without doing some minimal party. So that amount is what the claim is on. What you did on your... What?
The minhag.
Could be the minhag. Right. There was a minhag. This was the standard. There are people who may have gone above that. No. Minimum, I don't mean, there's no, what do you mean minimum? There's no minimum, there's no chiyuv al pidin. It means this is what the minimum, this is the minimum, correct.
If he had lunch there, does it
what?
Make a difference? If he had lunch at this?
Okay. She would have to pay for the party. Now, then she can say, Lamaisa, you were nana because you ate in your own vart instead of having lunch. Good, so they can take off, you know, $3 for whatever he ate. The chassan usually doesn't eat at the vart anyway. What? Okay, presents usually go back, but that's you were dealing with Hilchos Masa. Oh, very good. If we're dealing with Hilchos Garmi, we pointed out that according to the Rambam and according to Taz, you need some level of Kavanah Lahazik. So if she finds out now he's an axe murderer, or better yet, he became an axe murderer in between, well, that's an oinus. An oinus, everyone agrees you're going to be potter. But if she just changed her mind, that's the case. And there, the Rambam holds that you're chayiv. Now, the Eben Ozel asks, why is that called negligence? Something happened, the relationship changed. He says it's not negligence. So he says it's a chiddush, you have to look it up. What he says is, since, even though normally maybe that would not be negligence, to make a commitment, have someone spend money, and then change your mind, he says, you have to look at the whole thing together, and he says, that's enough to be mechayiv. It's a chiddush, you have to look. Oh, very good, very good. So let me address that. Now, really, this Ravid and this whole kasha, this Ravid's kasha, that it's no different than when you sell seeds and the person incurs expenses. If you look at the Beis Yosef, the Bach, the Magen Mishnah, everyone, and the Aruch HaShulchan, everyone asks this kasha. Now, this kasha, if you think about it, is a pella. Because we just said that what does the Ramah hold? The Ramah said that when you sell something, if you know if you're negligent, if you knew that it was defective, you are responsible for the costs. So over here, when she backed out, she knew about all the costs. So of course she should have to pay. What's the kasha on the Rambam? Now, you're going to say the Ravid argues in this halacha. But the Mechaber paskins that when you sell something, you know it's defective, you're responsible for the costs. And the Beis Yosef and Ebenezer Siman Nun asked this kasha on the Rambam. So what's going on? You're negligent. The answer to the Chayra is, in the case when you're selling something, you know it's defective. That's called a pshia, that's called negligence, you're responsible. When she got engaged, she expected to get married. Something changed afterwards. That's not called mezer. That's called a shogeg. And therefore, even the Ramah that says that you have to pay zaroi negina, that's only when there's negligence. In this case, where it doesn't rise to that level of negligence, that's why the achroinim all, and some of the rishonim, all ask this kasha on the Rambam, why do you have to pay for the damage? What? Yeah, so that would be much worse. Because then that everyone would agree, Mustama, because he's spending the money, she already knows that she's backing out, so that's just wasted money.
What about this, the idea that two people there's different that's established from money? It was a mistake, it was both people's mistake, it wasn't just his current mistake. It was
that may be true, but he's still willing to go through with it. So she's the one that's backing out, so she's the one that's causing him the loss. Maybe he's better off with her not going through with it. That might be true. Wait, that might be true. He might have a miserable. He might be headed for. If she doesn't want to get married and we force her, it's not a school for good shalom bayis. But we're not talking about shalom bayis. We're talking about a financial hefset. She made a commitment to get married. Based on that commitment, he went ahead. He made a party, and now She's destroying it. The money is wasted.
She made up her
price. What? So again, once they're married, you find Benegia, Benedunya, and things like that. Once they get married, they're married. That's that. The commitment was not, you know, the commitment was to get married and to, you know, try, hopefully make it work the way people hope try to make it work. If it doesn't work out, that's not, that's the chayrinoyness, and that's, and anyway, he's the one, that, a divorce, he's always the one that gives the get. So she can't, he can't be tevei her. Well, the case is, wait, if neither of them want to go through with it, no one can be tevei anyone else mazik. The issue is, he wants to go ahead with it, and she backs out.
How could he prove?
He says, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm under the chuppah. I'm waiting for you.
But he knows that she's not going to go through
with it. Because that means she's the one that backed out. If right now he's ready to go through, he says, I'm ready to go through with it, and she says no. So she is the one that would have this liability according to this Rambam. If she's ready, it's a high stakes gamble. I don't know. I think she's better off paying for the vert, but okay, but let's. So based on this kasha, there are a number of terutzim for this kasha. There are chodesh dikur terutzim. Maga Mishnah says that they're different. Maga Mishnah says that in the case of Zarei Negina, you sold the seeds. The expense that he incurred, the purchaser, that person, what was that expense was done for his own benefit. He wants to plant. He wants it to grow. So he went ahead and he incurred an expense of planting and whatever he did with the seeds. Since that's not directly related to you, there, at least in the absence of negligence or when it's amazed, you're going to be potter. Zok the Magid Mishnah, in this case it's different. When a person gets engaged, their mechuyev, the minog is, they're basically forced to make the party. When you tell someone, we mentioned this far in the Rosh, when you tell someone, go bake these cupcakes, I'll buy it from you. So there, once it was moitzo etzayas al piv, you gave instructions. It was based on your word. They did the item totally based on what you said. There, the Rosh, again, the way Kivager explains it, there you're going to be liable even when you don't have all the other parameters of garmi. So the way they learn this halacha is as well. Since when a person gets engaged, they have to make a party. It's not just stam what they want to do. This is the minog. You can probably force someone, if the chassan decides he doesn't want to make a vort, he's too cheap, you can probably force him to, because that's part of the obligations when they get engaged. So there, this is moitzei tzoras al piv. This is the equivalent of forcing him or telling him to do it. And therefore, in such a case, you'd be responsible to pay. At least according to the Rambam. The Rabbit argues, but this would be the chittus of Rambam, and in Evin Ezra, it seems like this is the ikar halach. Now, based on this, this is very often quoted in the context of if a person bounces a check. A person gives you a bad check, you deposit. The check is returned, and you have to pay a fee. So what is that? Is that groma or garmi? So again, according to the Rambam, if you knew that the check was no good and you're just trying to push him off, that is kavanos lahazik, it's negligence. You certainly would have to pay. According to Tosfos, where any time which is davar shchiach, there's a knas. So this is something which is certainly a davar shchiach. So according to the Sma and the Ramah that we can extend this knas, you'd certainly have to pay.
No,
the velt. The velt. According to the shitas that you need a ma'is in the gufa in the gufa mamun, yesh ladun. This is an outside fee that the bank is charging. It's not directly related to this. This is like paying a diver to go bring the coin up. However, what many achrayim say is that this case is worse. Since when you're giving someone a check, you owe him money. What you're telling him is, I don't have cash, but here, take this to the bank, and this is how to get the money. So this is the equivalent of giving specific instructions, go ahead and do this. And therefore, many achrayim say that for this reason, everyone would agree if there was a balanced check, you'd be chayiv for the fees, midina degarmi. However, this goes only on the fees. If person gives you a bad check, and based on that bad check, you go ahead and you write other checks, and you happen to have nothing in your account, there it's not so simple. Because there, first of all, the person who wrote the check didn't really know what would happen. He has no way of knowing what would happen. and it's, you know, it's not a bari hezekah. It's, you went ahead and it was based on an action that you did on your own. You chose to write checks based on this before it clears. So this case would be a little bit more questionable. I did see that some are mechayev because they say it's nifal mepshia. You have to assume people will do it. But this case is less clear on halacha because it is one step further removed. What? Correct. It's very, very likely he's in Oynis or a Shaykh. What?